Pastor D, thank you for the opportunity given to me to be able to bring the message today. Thank you to the ministers as well. If I can be here, you can be here. Praise the Lord. If I can be here, you can also what? Be here. And I pray that God will find you faithful and he'll use you mightily in Jesus' name. And your friend, I must say, I'm going to miss you. Okay? I'm already thinking about when she goes to uni. But also, at the back of my mind, I thought that God is also preparing some people in some places. You know, God was preparing David while he was in the, should I call it, wilderness? So God is calling some people in some places that would come and serve here. And I pray that those people will not fail in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. A lot of preachers and teachers have different styles and different things they talk about. For instance, you find preachers and teachers that talk about prosperity. You find some that really teach the word, the ones that will tell you what the Hebrew word is and the Greek word. You also find teachers that will talk about mercy. You find teachers that will talk about works. If I was to classify myself, okay, I'll probably say I'm one that talks a lot about mercy because I know where I've come from, but it's of the mercy of God. Praise the Lord. So normally, I would always encourage people. I would tell them, don't worry, everything will be fine, okay? God will forgive you. God can do this. God can do that. I would normally talk about God's mercy. And while that is true, the Bible says that it's by grace that we were saved, not by works. Let any man boast. But nonetheless, God has called us unto what? God has called us unto good works. So, while it's true that I cannot do anything to save myself, but God has called us to a place of what? Of good works. And it's quite interesting that our Sunday school, we talked about that in terms of the judgment. We'll be judged and we'll be given what? Rewards. And while we're praying as well, what are those good works that God has called us to do? Are you doing it? Praise the Lord. So I think we'll be going in, I'll continue in that line. I believe that this year, as a church, God has called us for action. As in, that's what I believe God has called us. He's called us for action. Because if you look at the things we've been learning, the things that we've been taught, it's about being salt, being light. We should be what? Effective Christians. We should go out there and do our best. So I'll continue in that line. So sorry, I'm not going to be talking about mercy today. Or I'm not going to be talking about grace today. But I'm going to be talking about what works. It's going to be challenging. Last week, when Pastor Fumi was preaching to us, she talked about what we remembers? Appraisals, praise the Lord. And again, that's not about mercy. It's about you need to reflect on your life. How far have you come? She roughly guessed how much of the year has gone. She said what? 60%. And I'm a mathematician, so I can tell her that she roughly got it as well. But she's not yet today. But I'll tell her that, yeah, you roughly got it. I'm not saying what the right answer is, but yeah, it's 60% is almost gone. And very soon, by the end of this month, just 1/3 of the year is left. Just 4 more months. How much have you done? Thank God for today. We were here at VGU, and I was able to practice my preaching, okay? So if you are here at the vigil, I believe that God will probably be ringing the message home the more. For you to hear this again is for your benefit. And if you are not here, I pray that God would speak to you in Jesus' name. You know, there are some pastors, evangelists that go from places to places to preach, and they preach, like sometimes they preach the same message, and they're very good at preaching that message that they already preached. They even make it better. Yeah, but I'm not sure how God will use me today if I'm going to, but I pray he uses me anyways. I'll try my best, okay? And I'll pretend as if you have not heard all of this on Friday, okay? And if you've heard it, like I said, I pray that God rings the message home the more. And thank you for, because on Friday I asked for feedback. Thank you for all the feedbacks that you gave me. One of them was that I should give the sermon a title. So the title of the sermon is Rewards, Heavenly Rewards, okay? Heavenly Rewards. And I hope that the rest of the feedback I got, I'll be able to I'll be able to put them into practice, or I'll be able to say them. So our text for today is Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 21. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 21. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 21. He says that, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroys, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." Praise the Lord. And looking at that verse, I think God has blessed me in a way whereby I'm kind of slow at reading. But because I'm slow at reading, I assimilate more. As in, so do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. I get that. Okay? Where moth nor rust destroys, where thieves break in and steal. It's quite interesting that just having a look at that, looking at that part, there's no alternative, right? There's no alternative. As in, treasures on earth are perishable. They are temporal. There's no other alternative. There's none that's permanent. And unfortunately, even our family members, our loved ones, it's not permanent. The life we have right now, it's not permanent. So all these earthly things, so there's no other option in there. They're what? They're temporal. They wouldn't last forever. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. Praise the Lord. Guaranteed. It cannot be taken away from you. No one can take it away from you. And then it says that where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Again, I got one of the feedbacks about, because one of the things we said on Friday was that your treasures have power over you. Your treasures have power over you. But if you look at that last verse again, it says that, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." It's quite interesting that you choose where your treasures are. Yeah? Your treasures are different to my treasures. But you determine what your treasures are. So nobody determines for you. However, it says it clearly there that where those treasures are, there your heart will also be. So those treasures have power over you. And I give an example of Erioluwa. Erioluwa is one of my treasures. And normally, Eri has got his cousin around, JJ. And all my days, I've got to be there. Otherwise, they'll play and play and play, and Eri's the one that ends up crying, or he's the one that ends up banging his head. And I'm like, no, no, you sit down there, and you sit down there. And, JJ has been around for 2 months now. So it's been almost more than about 60 days, okay? I looked at it, that was 1/6 of my year JJ is around. And while the first two weeks was very, very rosy, the latter part of this day was one that I couldn't go to bed and sleep if both of them were in the same place. I have to ask, "Sister Shade, are you available for me to bring Eri to you? Or Kay, are you going to take Eri to your house?" Just because of I don't want them to what? Hurt themselves. But when I have the strength and the energy, then I'll be there. But it's my treasure, so that's where my heart, what? My heart is there. And likewise, Jesus is saying to us that where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. And the reason for this particular scripture was, we've been talking a lot in church about we reaching out, we doing a lot of things, like I said earlier. And I thought to myself that I want to do more. And this scripture was one of the scriptures that was read at some point. And I said to myself, do I know what my treasures are as my heavenly treasures? And asked myself a couple of questions, which I'm going to also ask you today. Do you know how much you have in your bank account? Do you know how much you have in your savings? Some of us are so blessed that we know roughly Should I pray for you that you would know roughly, because it would be too much in Jesus' name? So some of us know roughly how much we have there. Some of us, we don't know where money comes in and where money goes out, as in just settled like that. But yeah, so do you know how much you have in your bank account? Do you know where you want to be in 3 to 5 years' time? I think, having been working, you need to see a clear path to you growing in the business. And you also be told what the requirements are. So I think I know where I want to be in 3 to 5 years' time. I don't know if I want to continue to be working or if I want to start something else. But God will show me. But I'm having ideas. Likewise, we all have ideas of what we want to do, where you want to be in 3 to 5 years' time. Some of those things you know how to get there. Okay? For instance, you're having an examination. You know what the requirements are. You know what you need to get to be able to what get into a particular university. So some of us, you know what those things are already. And you're working towards that. Fantastic. That's really, really good. Some of us, we're in a place whereby we're not really happy at the moment. Life's challenges. However, we know where we want to be. And God will take us there in Jesus' name. So you also have dreams, aspirations. If you add the resource, again, what cars would you buy for your parents? I don't want to spoil my mom if I had the resource. You know, maybe like 5 maids, okay? One that wear a shoe for her, one that would, as in, just want to spoil her because she did really well for us. So likewise, if you had the resource, what house would you buy for them? What car would you buy for them? If you had the resource, there are some people I see that I just want to give money to. Just take, as in, if you had the resource, I want to get people out of poverty. I said on Friday that I want to sponsor scholarships. And Dr. Shemilore said amen, because he wants to sponsor scholarships as well. As in, we have dreams, we have aspirations. For instance, when some of us, anybody received bursaries, scholarships, it was probably someone or some organization that funded it. Why can it not be what? You. So some of us have got dreams, aspirations. And all of these things I can liken to treasures, some of the things that you want to do, you want to have on earth. But how much of that are you saying for God? How much of that are you saying, as in my treasures, as in God, I want to have more treasures, I want to do this for you, I want to do that for you. How much of that are you saying? Another example is some of us that go to the gym. You know what body size you want, you know what shape you want. Yeah? You want to look trim. I'm still hoping to look trim. Praise the Lord. Don't worry, I'm still hoping to look trim. One of these days I'll start. Some of us, you go swimming because of we know the benefits. So some of us treasure our bodies. You go to the gym 3 to 5, almost 7 times in a week. Okay? So you've got those treasures. But what about for God? So I'm going to read that scripture again. It says, do not lay up treasures for yourself on earth, where it is perishable, but lay up treasures for yourself in heaven, where it is forever. For where your treasure is, there also your heart is. And one of the first points I would like to make is that it's not wrong to plan ahead. It's not wrong to save. For instance, as in if possible, I pray that before he even gets into university, I have all of the money to be able to send him to a private school. So it's not wrong to plan ahead, and that's not what Jesus was talking about. Because Jesus talked about the parable of the talents. He gave some of them, gave 2, some of them gave 5, some of them gave 10. But what did they do with it? So it's not bad to plan ahead. And Jesus gave another example of the unjust steward. And the unjust steward was one whereby he knew they were going to chase him from the job very soon and was already planning what? For the future. Okay? I think in that Matthew chapter 6, either verse 33 or 34, Jesus also said that do not worry about tomorrow. So are those conflicting passages? No, it's not conflicting. Jesus is merely saying to us that don't be carried away by tomorrow and forget today's priorities. Don't be carried away by what? Tomorrow and forget today's priorities. An example of that is the rich fool. The rich fool, he didn't know what God wanted him to do right now. But he was talking about tomorrow as far. I'll build barns, I'll build big stock house, as in big warehouse, and I'll fill it with different things, and I'll put up my feet. But he wasn't concerned about what God wanted him to do what right now. So when Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow, merely what he's saying to you is that the priorities I've given you for today, focus on them. Focus on them. So yeah, we need to plan for our future. That's not, Jesus is not saying, do not plan for your future. We've got to definitely plan for our future. But when we plan for our future in such a way that you forget about today's priorities, then that's when it is wrong. Praise the Lord. And the problem with earthly treasures is that when you get fascinated into it, as in it's, that's all that consumes you. I could say that was what consumed the rich man, the rich fool. It was about how he's going to put his feet up. That was what consumed him. So don't get carried away by things right now. Some things are, I'll probably say, what are the basic needs of life? We call them what? Food, clothing, shelter. You planning for those things are not wrong. Okay, so when he's saying that, do not lay up treasures for yourself on earth, just not saying don't plan for those things, because those things are really, really important. I remember when I could not pay rent, as I remember, almost 5-6 years ago, it was difficult. Has home office shown anybody in this place? Home office shown you before? Home office showed me. They showed me. So there was a time I couldn't pay rent, and I, as in, but thank God I'm in a place when, a place now that I can pay rent, as in, and also, by God's grace, I'll be able to also pay what? Mortgage. But I've not found it difficult to pay my rent. And I know many of us are in that place whereby you're not finding it difficult to pay your rent. So the fact that I value having a roof over my head is not wrong, okay? The fact that you've got food on your table, that is not wrong also. That's why we have careers. That's why we're doing what we're doing. It's so that we can have what? We can have food on the table. So that's not wrong. Because if you know what it means not to have food that you want to eat, actually, maybe we don't know and we don't actually value it, but if you didn't have it, you'd know what the value is. So yeah, I treasure my, not necessarily treasure, but I value having a roof over my head. I value having food. I value having good clothes as well and good shoes. So those things are not wrong if you have them. And lately, I've added that one of the basic necessities of life is also the internet. Any young person here, you don't have internet, you know how lost you are. As in, what's going on? So just like food, clothing, and shelter, we'll now add to your economics textbook, add what? Internet into that as well. So that's also very, very important. So these things are important. Okay, they're very, very important to have. However, Jesus is also saying that what? All these things are what? Perishable. It can be taken away from you. We talked about the examples of the boys, the footballers in Thailand that were stuck in a cave. God knows how they got there. I don't know. But for 10 days, they were stuck in a cave. They didn't have food for some time before resource came. So at any point, anything, all these things could be what? Could be taken away. Any of these things could be taken away. So all the things that you probably treasure, as far as it's on earth here, it is perishable. It's only for a short time. It's temporal. Praise the Lord. Anybody interested in having rewards in heaven? Are you interested in having rewards in heaven? Anybody, I can't hear you. You're interested in having rewards in heaven. So what have you done to have those rewards? What have you done? Or what are you doing to have those rewards? For instance, we're doing a lot of things to better ourselves right now. Yes? We're doing a lot of things to acquire more right now. But what are you doing to have more in heaven? And that was what got me interested in this particular verse. And I was looking for something that is really, really sophisticated, that I want to have rewards in heaven and I want to know what to do. Probably, as in, I was interested in what do I need to do? And a couple of things that you should do to have rewards in heaven. Let's quickly have a look at Luke chapter 22. I believe from verse 18. Luke chapter 22 from verse 18. Luke 18 from verse 18. It says, "Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, 'Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' So Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother.' And he said, 'All of these things I have done from what? From my youth.'" So a lot of us are, this, as in if I was to classify this guy is a churchgoer. As in, if I was just bringing it to this setting, this guy is a churchgoer, and he's one of the best churchgoers because he keeps what? The commandments. He keeps, as in he's been doing it, not, he didn't start late, he even started what? Very, very early. And then the next verse says that what? "So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, 'You still lack one thing,' and I'm sorry to say, a lot of us lack this thing as well. I lacked it, and I'm praying that God would help me, that I would have it." So he says, Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you would have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." But he said what? "Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you would have what? Treasure in heaven." Now, I'm not saying that you need to sell all you have. I'm not selling my car. That's not what we're saying, okay? But he's making the point there that what? By giving, you're laying for yourself treasures in heaven. And a lot of us are actually very good at giving, but giving to church, as in giving our offerings and our tithes, as in we don't miss it. And that's where it ends. I didn't come across any scripture that said that when you give your offering and your tithe, you're laying treasures in heaven. I'm not saying don't do it, but I'm trying to encourage us to do better. Please, to do what? Much better. I also give this example. I remember while in at the university, our fees were paid for. However, our rent and looking after us, we had to strive for that. So while we were doing full-time university, we're also doing full-time night shift. But we're here today, we're not dead, praise the Lord. So myself, okay, we're doing full-time what? Night shift. 37.5 hours every week. So we're able to pay our rent, and we're able to look after what? After ourselves in terms of what we needed. But yeah, God is good. And I think we even overdid it, because we'll do such an amazing work that probably should take 7 hours. We'll probably have done it in 4.5 hours. And every night they'll be calling us to come back. Okay, so yeah, come back again. And it was the Labour government that time. So Labour government, as in, well, you know, normally students are only supposed to do 20 hours. The Labour government did not care. As in, all things went then. But now, before you can even work in any place, oh my days. So, so strict. But the point I'm going to is that while we were in uni, myself and Kay, we were sponsoring some children back in Indonesia through World Vision. We're giving £20 every month. So this was 2004, 2005. So more than 10 years ago, as in, and then, £20 has not really changed in value, but it was probably worth a bit more then. But yeah, we're given that, but we did not know lack, praise the Lord. We probably struggled to pay rent sometime, but we paid it. Okay, God gave us an understanding landlord that we paid the money. But I wouldn't say I knew lack, and I said that I had more disposable income then than now. A lot of money goes through my account now, but it comes in, this bill, that bill, that bill, it goes. And I thought to myself, it doesn't make sense. How can I say I had more then than now? And the Holy Spirit said to me that when you're giving, when you're using your money for God, God gives you contentment. God gives you contentment. However, when you're not using your money to give God, you know, it says that there's one that what scatters and one that withholds. As in, the fact that you're withholding, how is it that the fact that you're withholding, it's reducing? How does that happen? God gives you what? Contentment. And I pray that God will help us that would reach out. So, one of the ways to lay treasures in heaven is by what? By giving. A lot of us, we give to church, like I said. But if you said to yourself, so in the last, from January till now, besides church giving, and besides you being a good uncle or a good auntie, or being a good brother by giving to people around you, or you know when that particular uncle visits and he gives you money because you know money is going to show. I saw something on Instagram. It says that, do you remember when we were little, and when that uncle comes, you're expecting him to give you something. Now I am that uncle, that I need to go somewhere and I have to give something. So some of us are no longer what? We're no longer those children that the uncle will be giving something to. We're now those ones that they're expecting from us. So as in, if we're to do an appraisal of yourself, like we're saying from last week, how much have you given? And we could say that we don't have. That's why we're not giving. But Jesus treasures the lady what? It was small, but Jesus said what? She gave what? The most. So please, I'm imploring you, I'm encouraging you. If you want to lay treasures in heaven, what do you need to do? You need to give. You need to be a giver. You need to be a giver. Can we quickly look at Mark chapter 10, verse 21? Mark chapter 10, verse 21. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, Luke 12, 33. He says, sell what you have. So, same scripture again. Sell what you have, give alms, provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old. A treasure in heaven that does not what? Fail. The key point again there is what? Is what? Giving alms. Now, giving alms are to those, I could be wrong. And I'm not one that says that I know all. And I think that's why one of the reasons why I love mercy, because I don't think I know it all. And I know I could be very, very wrong. And even in my speech, I know I saw something. I think I saw that. That's what I think I saw. So similarly, I think giving alms is to those that are really, really what? In need. Alms are for what? Those that are really, really in need. And if I would say to myself, how much alms have I given this year? Not much. And we live in a society whereby you see people on the street, and you're not really too sure if you should give them anything, because you know for sure that these guys are receiving benefits. As in, this country looks after its own people, so I'm not sure what you're doing on the street. As in, so you could take that disposition. And you could also take this disposition that the money you're giving them, that they would use it for drugs and alcohol. But it doesn't have to be money. It could also what? Be food. When I go shopping, there's always a trolley with food that you can give. When last did you drop something into that trolley for? There are food banks everywhere where you could give food to. And to be honest, those guys on the street, I give them money. But I tell him, don't use my money for drugs. And sometimes I'm like, why are you saying that to him? But hey, I tell him that sometimes. And I give them the money. Should we look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 42? Matthew chapter 10, verse 42 says, and whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly, I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. So, actually, Jesus was as little as what? And none of us have done that this year. How much of that have you done this year? As little as a cup of water. How much giving have you done this year? I as in, preach, do that. And I want to get more into that. I want to secure some reward for me in heaven. So I went to go and read the scripture as to what are the rewards. And the reward is about what? About first and foremost about giving. And I want to have I want my eternity to be secure. I don't just want to get to heaven. And to be honest, I think some of us just want to get there. Okay? Some of us just want to get there. But it'll be difficult for you to get there if your heart is focused on things of the earth. It'll be difficult for you to get there. It'll be difficult for you to lay treasures in heaven if you're not what? Heavenly focused. You know, Colossians says that what? Now that we've been saved, what should be in our heart? Things that are what? Above. Those are the things that should be in our heart. How many of you have thought about things above? Besides coming to church in the last 1 month, you thought about things above. As in, we need to change. Praise the Lord. We need to change. So it says, as little as a cup. So I'm challenging myself as well. And if you've not been doing it, don't let this message just go by. God is talking to you. God is talking to me. And like I said, this year has been a year of what? Action. God is calling us for what? Action. So please give, okay? Please give. Another way to have rewards in heaven is by our service. Let's have a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8. He says that, now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his what? His labor. And quickly, let's also look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. For God is not unjust to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and also what? Do minister. So God, by your act of service, you also what? Have rewards in heaven. You playing an instrument, you being an usher, those are what? Labor of what? Labor of love. Yeah? I see you're more interested now. So yeah, by doing those things, by your service in church, by your service to people, by your service to believers, you're also laying for yourself treasures in heaven. And then I thought to myself that having treasures in heaven, do I have to physically be in heaven? Do you have to physically be in heaven to have treasures in heaven? No. So we can start right now. Nothing is stopping you from starting right now. So please, get involved in church. Get involved in service. Because that way as well, you're laying for yourself what? Treasures in what? In heaven. And no matter how much you have, right now, like we said, those things are only for what? A short period of time. They're temporary. You cannot take it to heaven. I don't know how it would be. I've not been there. I don't know if there will be classes. I don't know if there will be different mansions. But hey, for you to have rewards, you need to do these things. God will help us in Jesus' name. Also, Matthew chapter 10, verse 41. The Bible mentions rewards that await the believers who serve the Lord faithfully in this world. A great reward is promised to those who are persecuted for Jesus' sake. And we know in 2 Timothy chapter 2, chapter 4, verse 8, a lot of what crowns are mentioned. At the end of today's service, we can go back to what we've already been doing, what we've always been doing. Or we could plan for eternity. Praise the Lord. Some of the heavenly rewards, treasures in heaven, we also experience some of them right here on earth. One of them being forever free from sin, having a relationship with God. You know, a lot of people look for things that do not satisfy, as in they tried it all. And we talked about some of these treasures as well, and I mentioned this on Friday as well, that there are some things I wanted to have, and after I had them, anybody ever felt disappointment sometimes that, okay, you struggle for something, You finally had it. What was the point? And there's some other things that you struggle for, you achieved, but with time, it fades away. Because these things don't satisfy. I give examples. Kay has a bike in the garage at the moment. A couple of hundreds of pounds to buy the bike. If I sold it today, you wouldn't know. Some of us, we treasure our cars. Oh, my days, when I bought my car, my wife could not even sit inside. That's me exaggerating, okay? But now, oh my days, if I was to open my car for, if you see how dirty it is because of children, I treasured that car. But hey, and even all the bed pools on it. So all these things don't satisfy. But God satisfies. You working for God satisfies. And sometimes when you do these acts of reward, you get an inner peace that you cannot explain. So God help us all in Jesus' name. I'd like us to, there was a song we sang on Friday. I'd like us to sing that song today, which is God Should Make Us a Vessel. We came with nothing. All we have, God has given to us. And I pray that we'll let ourselves loose to be used of God mightily in giving. So, yes, choir, please help me with that song.
Make me a vessel. Make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be. Lord, I came here with nothing, but all you have given me, Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Make me a vessel. Make me a vessel.
Father God, for as many as here that want to be vessels to be used of you, Father, I pray for enablement. I pray for grace. I pray for resource that you grant unto us in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for forgiveness, that our hearts have been on things of the head, things that are temporal, things that do not last. But Lord, I ask again in the name of Jesus that as many as are saying, I want to do more. I want to do better. That, Lord, you give the grace in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that at the end, we would all receive rewards in Jesus' name. And Father, perhaps there might still be a heart that is hardened today. Holy Spirit, you minister to you in Jesus' name. I pray in the name of Jesus that from what you've been doing in our individual lives and as a collective, that will be known for giving in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lord, I especially pray for those that do not have. I ask in the name of Jesus, the Lord, abundance you give to them in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The days of lack, the days that they didn't have anything, the Lord you restore in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, I pray for those that cannot distinguish what you've given to them in terms of what is a seed and what they're supposed to spend. Holy Spirit, start to speak to us in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That resource you've given to us, that we should use as a seed, Lord. That you'd open our eyes to see, and we'll do in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, we say thank you for speaking to us.
Thank you.
We bless your name. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I pray that you're all gonna have a lovely week. God will continue to strengthen you. Whatever your heart desires, that God will grant unto you in Jesus' name. Those things that you're trusting God for, those appointments you have, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will succeed in Jesus' name. Whatever your hands find, God will prosper it in Jesus' name. And those of you that might be tired, I pray for renewed strength in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Can we share the grace together in fellowship, please? Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord.